Perek Hei Mishneh Hei. Hagachelet Karagle Habalim Vashahavet Bechomakom. So we're continuing on with the halachot of Tchumin. Here in this Mishnah, we compare and contrast a gachelet, a burning coal, with the shahavet, with the flame that it produces. So the shahavet is considered something she'en v'mamashot, that doesn't have any specific substance to it. So a gachelet, you treat it as a regular object of the owner, and therefore it's restricted to the tchum of the owner. The shalhevet, but the flame, let's say something lights, someone lights from the coal a flame, using the flame of the coal, b'chomakom, then a shalhevet, because it doesn't have any real substance to it, can be carried by and is restricted only by the person with whom who takes the flame from wherever. Gachelet shel hekdesh ma'olin ba. Another distinction between a coal and a flame, that if you have a coal, a burning coal that's hekdesh, that was consecrated for the Beit HaMikdash, ma'olin ba, that if one uses it in a manner that one's not allowed to, you know, for chulin, then it's considered subject to the laws of Me'ilah, and one has to bring a korban for it. Shalhevet lo nenin, v'lo ma'olin. But let's say if one used a flame in a way that a flame of coming from a coal of hakdish, since it doesn't have any specific substance to it, lo nenin, one isn't actually the chachil allowed to use the flame, v'lo ma'olin. But if one does, then it's not considered subject to the laws of Me'ila in terms of having to bring a korban for the Me'ila. If one brings out a coal, another example of the distinction between a coal and a flame, if one brings out a coal from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, subject to the laws of carrying from one domain to another and one's chayef. Shalhevet, but if one carries a flame from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, then that's considered pater because it doesn't have any specific mamashut substance to it. Let's say one has a cistern, a pit that has water that one can draw water from it. So let's say it's a personal cistern. Then the water that's drawn out of it, regardless of who does the drawing, it goes after the owner of the cistern with regard to the laws of Tchun. Let's say you have a cistern belonging to the people of the city, karagli ansheota ir. So it's considered a public cistern, and the tchum relates to the tchum of the city because it's collectively owned by the entire city. Shalol ole Bavel, people who used to go up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael for, you know, pilgrimage for the Chagim. So they used to have cisterns along the way where people can draw water and drink. So karagle hamamale. So those are considered not as belonging to any specific person. So the water that's drawn out of those wells, related to the laws of tchum, and one considers it as whoever draws it out. That's it's subject to their particular laws for tchumen. Perek Hey Mishnah Vav. Misha Haya Perotah Be'ir Acheret. Let's say you have fruit that's now in a different city. It belongs to a person though that's from city number one. Eru Bnei Otair Lahavi Eslo Perotah. And let's say he wants that fruit to be able to use on Yom Tov, and the people of that city make an eruv in order to be able to carry the fruit further to bring it to him. Essentially, if one wants to extend one's chum on Shabbos, you're allowed to make an eruv before Shabbos, and then, which is essentially like establishing a new place of residence, and therefore the tchum then extends from the place that one makes the eruv. However, because it belongs to the person to whom the fruit is being brought, therefore the eruv of the people that belong to this other city, it doesn't help with regard to bringing the fruit to its owner. lo yovielo, and therefore they can't bring it to him. Vim eruv hu, but if the person who owns the fruit makes an eruv and extends his own personal tchum to include now the other city where the fruit rests, so perotav kmo. So then his produce is considered as himself, and therefore it's if it's part of the new tchum based on the eruv, then he can use it.